$1 million, and Eisner exploded, accusing Katzenberg of hiding the bad news from him. "Nothing upsets me more than finding out about a problem when it's too late to do anything about it," he fumed. He ordered Katzenberg to immerse himself in the project and slash costs, or else he'd either take control himself or shut down the production. In a dramatic gesture, even by his own standards, Katzenberg summoned the top people involved, including Williams, Spielberg, Zemeckis, Marshall, and Snyder, to a meeting in New York, halfway between Los Angeles and London. The California contingent had to take an overnight flight while the others flew from London. "This isn't working," he began once they had assembled. "Michael has given me an ultimatum." Snyder had felt the only solution was to fire Williams, but instead, Katzenberg told Williams to finish drawing the two major cartoon characters, Roger and Baby Herman, and relieved him of his management duties, which went to Snyder. In the wake of the meeting, word coursed through the animation community that Roger Rabbit was in serious trouble, which prompted a call to Katzenberg from Kim Masters, a reporter for Premiere magazine, who was working on an article about the mounting disarray. Desperate to stave off bad press, Katzenberg offered Masters exclusive access to the set, animators, and production process if she agreed not to print anything until the movie was finished. Everyone breathed a sigh of relief when she agreed. Eisner remained skeptical both of the costs and the quality of the film. He flooded Zemeckis with production notes and complained to Katzenberg when Zemeckis ignored them. Katzenberg argued that Eisner couldn't simply substitute his judgment for that of major talents like Spielberg and Zemeckis. "I'm doing the best I can," Katzenberg finally said in exasperation. "If that's not satisfactory to you, then I'm not the person to do this job." After that exchange, Eisner stopped speaking to him, the first serious rupture in their partnership. But the silent treatment only lasted a few days. Roger Rabbit's first screening before a test audience of mostly teenagers was in April. Much of the animation wasn't finished. The teenagers grew impatient, and the film broke halfway through. Desperate to prevent any bad word from leaking, Katzenberg summoned everyone to the rear of the theater. "We have just had the greatest preview ever," he said solemnly. The film and audience reactions steadily improved. Roy was delighted with it, though he took Eisner aside in the parking lot after a screening. "This is too risque for the Disney label," he warned. "Why?" Eisner asked. "You know, Jessica's line, 'Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just glad to see me?'" Eisner was happy to oblige him, since he thought marketing the film as a Touchstone release would broaden the appeal to adults. Katzenberg, too, was delighted. "This is going to be the number one film of 1988, he confidently predicted. Who Framed Roger Rabbit opened in June to ecstatic reviews. Newsweek did a cover story. Rita Kempley, writing in the Washington Post, raved that Roger Rabbit took an army of artists, 1,000 special effects, and more technology than a nuclear submarine. But this humanimated miracle is more than razzle-dazzle. It's also a landmark of high spirits. You get the feeling that everybody involved was in love with the notion, from director Robert Zemeckis of Back to the Future to animation director Richard Williams. Hoskins, who reacted to thin air during the filming while a comic in a rabbit suit read Roger's lines off camera, is wonderful. And the chemistry is there. The effervescent essence of Roger, his